And so we declare the story of the Book of Mormon to the nations. We believe, and this is also found on page 142, verse 41 to 42, we believe this: wherefore, these things shall go forth from generation to generation, as long as the earth shall stand, and they shall go according to the will and the pleasure of God, and the nations, plural, which shall possess them, shall be judged of them according to the words which are written. I declare that to be of God. Let's have another picture. Here is the last picture on this series, after which I'll read a little bit, and then we'll close. This is the Aztec calendar stone. Some people call it the Maya calendar stone. But this is one of the greatest finds of all time as far as archaeology is concerned. The students have actually broken the code here, and this is a calendar stone with a 365 and a fraction day year on this stone. With this stone, they can decipher the dates of many of the ruins, because the dates are on the ruins. According to this, they can read it. Here in the middle of this, and this was pointed up to me, I knew it before and I kind of forgot it, by Brother Heels of the Reorganized Church in Independence the other night. He had a picture of Quetzalcoatl in glass, and I was going to show it on my slide, but it was too thick, it wouldn't take it. And this picture is in either Chichen Itza, I mean where they get the picture, or in Palenque, and I don't remember which, but when you go back, if you can find it out, get a picture of the great white god. And it's exactly as this is here. And they say, the students say, this is Quetzalcoatl, as represents the great white god, and by this other picture, what they claim, and it looks just like this particular face, only that's a much better picture. Now that's the end of the pictures. I would like to, in closing, I want to read to you something that I wrote a few years ago, and especially Bill Sheldon, I beg your pardon, Bill, you've been with me when I read this so many times. It might be getting old, but like I say, I hope it don't cause anybody any problem. But the reason I want to read it is that when I wrote it, I was in a very particular and deep, I believe, spiritual mood. And I also believe that I wrote under inspiration. I believe with all my heart. I'll never forget, as I wrote what I'm going to read to you, the feelings that was within my heart. I have many times stood in those ruins and have tried to visualize the history of those people. Could I but be permitted to see a day of activity of those people 1,000 years ago? And I had that opportunity on one occasion, a little experience, when a man died back in the jungles. They laid him out on the floor. They put candles around him. And they cried and they rejoiced. They have a very peculiar way, different than us. And I tried to get permission from the authorities in that locality. I had my station wagon the other day down there, and we were down to Kilometer 50. You know where that is. And the graveyard was quite a little distance out in the jungle, but you could get to it, almost to it, with a car. Now, their normal way of taking anybody to the graveyard is just carry them. They put them in a box that just fits the body, just like a mummy box. You know, it just fits the feet and broadens for the shoulders, and narrows for the head. And I thought that it would be nice if we could carry the casket in my car. We could put the seats down and use it for a hearse. So I went to talk to the authorities, and they said it would be all right in this case. So the next morning, we took that body out and put it in my car. I never will forget it as long as I live. It was vapors. It was early morning. You know how those, the clouds or the vapor in the early morning will drift back and forth? And here it was. And by candlelight, what a weird procession. And we went up this old road. And we got to where there was quite a big bank, and the trail went down. And here where we had to stop, and they took the casket out, and they walked down this bank. And they went out into the jungles. And they had dug a hole big enough for the casket, but if you'd covered up, it wouldn't be covered up that much. and they had dug it with, they had an old shovel without a hand. They dug it with that. The top of the casket was put on, hadn't been nailed on yet, so they took that off so the family could view the body. And then when they put the lid back on, they put two nails in it with a rock. They didn't even have a hammer. And to us, it seemed like we were back 1,000 years. And I have often wished, I didn't particularly relish this particular scene, but I'd often wished that I could see life as it flowed and ebbed when those ruins were in their heyday. And as I was writing this, I'm writing an experience that I actually had. And in my mind, in the imagination, I was viewing, I really viewed the history of the past. And so, in 1958, this is only part of an article that I'm going to read. And we'll close with this. But I want you to get the feeling. Like I say, reading the words of a poet will give you the picture. But reading the words that I penned under what I feel under the influence of the divine spirit might give us a better feeling of these things. Besides the spiritual blessing we have been able to enjoy among our people, we have been able to view some of the ancient ruins. Of course, to anyone who believes in the Book of Mormon, the viewing of these ancient ruins will also bring a spiritual blessing. This country is filled to the overflowing with the proof of the Book of Mormon. Here we find the evidence written in stone. The great cities built with masterful design and great structures literally cover the face of the land. They are built so massive and strong that they are almost as indestructible as the everlasting hills. They shall stand as testimony of the sure word of God to all those who will look and learn. I quote from the Book of Mormon. And it came to pass that I, being 11 years old, was carried by my father into the land southward, even to the land of Zarahemla, the whole face of the land, having become covered with buildings, and the people were as numerous as almost as the sands of the sea. How wonderful is our God! Not only did he touch the minds of the prophets with his Holy Spirit, and give unto them visions of unborn time and cause that they should write them in the Book of Mormon, but he also caused men to build structures of stone that would stand through the ages, structures that will stand in mute testimony of the everlasting truthfulness of God, of his word. As I walk through the streets of these cities of the dead, in my imagination I stand with the people who have long since gone back to the dust. As we stand there, we hear the voice from heaven. Hear a voice from heaven. We lift our heads and listen in startled silence as these words come from the heavens. O ye house of Israel, whom I have spared, how oft will I gather you as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, if you will repent and return unto me with full purpose of heart. But if not, O house of Israel, these places of your dwelling shall become desolate until the time of the fulfilling of the covenant to your fathers. 3 days after hearing these words, again a voice was heard from heaven. Again in my imagination, I stand among these ancient people as they listen to the voice of God. And it said unto them, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name. Hear ye him. Yes, in my imagination I am with the people as they listen to the voice of the Master, as he taught them the way of life. I rejoice with them as they comprehend the greatness of the gospel. Soon, however, my joy turns to grief, and I see the years roll by, and the strife and contentions are the order of the day. I see the people dwindle in unbelief. I see war, bloodshed, heartache, and sorrow, until the people are all destroyed. I think this civilization can take a warning from the mistakes of others. Listen to the 40th verse, the first chapter of the Book of Mormon. And it came to pass that in my sorrow, that in my sorrow did return unto me again, and I saw that the day of grace was past with them, both temporally and spiritually, for I saw thousands of them hewn down in open rebellion against their God and heaped up as dung upon the face of the land. Again, let us hear the 13th verse of the second chapter. And it is impossible for tongue to describe or for man to write a perfect description of the horrible scene of the blood and carnage which was among the people. both of the Nephites and the Lamanites, and every heart was hardened, so that they delighted in the shedding of blood continually. Now in my imagination, I stand alone in the streets where once the Savior, the feet of the Savior trod. Now there are no joyful sounds, there is no laughter, there are no songs from the throats of happy people. That sound I hear is but the sighing of the wind as it roams through doors and empty streets. Then of a sudden the wind is quiet. I am startled with the thundering crash of silence. No longer am I in the realm of imagination, but rather I awaken to reality, and I find myself standing amid the great ruins of a fallen civilization. As I look, the rhythmic beat of a silent sound that had been